Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Early lab tests show Pfizer and BioNTech's booster ups protection against Omicron. Plus, Turkey is in an economic crisis. What that could mean for other countries.
Part of the potential risk from this is that some of the loans that will be coming due in a couple of months' time, maybe Turkey isn't able to roll those payments over to the future because the US banks and the European banks are a little bit more concerned about Turkey's economy than they've been in the past.
And how millennials are now exercising their willpower. It's Wednesday, December 8th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Pfizer and BioNTech say a third dose of their COVID-19 vaccine neutralized the Omicron variant in lab tests. They found that a third dose increased antibodies 25-fold as compared to their two-dose regimen, although two doses may still prevent severe disease. As we reported this morning, findings from the company's early study and one by scientists in South Africa show the variant can partially escape vaccine protections, bolstering the case for boosters to maintain immunity. Testifying before a Senate panel today, Instagram's top executive Adam Mosseri defended the platform's safety record. Lawmakers grilled him about internal company research that shows the app and its algorithm can worsen body image issues for some girls, as previously reported in the Wall Street Journal's Facebook Files series. In his opening statement, Mosseri told lawmakers they share a common goal.
This is an industry-wide challenge and requires industry-wide solutions and industry-wide standards. Now, we have a specific proposal. We believe there should be an industry body that will determine the best practices when it comes to what I think are the three most important questions with regards to youth safety: how to verify age, how to build age-appropriate experiences, and how to build parental controls.
In response to questioning about the impact of its algorithm, Mosseri said Instagram is also working on giving users more options to engage with the platform.
Senator, we believe in more transparency and accountability, and we believe in more control. That's why we're currently working on a version of a chronological feed that we hope to launch next year.
We have more on the hearing on WSJ.com. Apple won a U.S. appeals court reprieve today, which will delay the rollout of changes to its App Store that were ordered as part of the company's antitrust battle with Epic Games. The federal ruling forced Apple to allow developers to seek payment within their apps outside of the App Store. The new order means Apple will be able to put off some of the most significant changes as Epic seeks broader appeals. Epic declined to comment. Attorneys for Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes have rested their case in her criminal fraud trial. In her testimony, Holmes said she had regrets, but also placed blame on her former deputy and boyfriend, Sonny Balwani, who she says sexually and emotionally abused her. He's denied her allegations. He faces a separate trial on fraud charges next year. In response to a question from her attorney today, Holmes said she never tried to mislead investors. Closing arguments in the trial could take place as early as next week. And the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot said it would move to hold former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows in contempt of Congress after he failed to appear for a deposition this morning. If the full House affirms the contempt resolution, the matter could be referred to the Justice Department for potential criminal proceedings. Meadows has previously asserted through his lawyer that he is shielded by executive privilege. The lawyer declined to comment today. Coming up, Turkey is in the middle of an economic crisis. Could it spread to other nations?
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
The Turkish lira has been in free fall. The currency has depreciated 35% against the dollar and is now one of the worst investments in the world. That crisis and soaring inflation have left Turkey's economy on the brink, and some experts fear this isn't the end of it. So what does that mean for Turkey, and could there be spillover to other markets? Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff. Hi, Caitlin. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Anne-Marie.
So, Caitlin, let's start in Turkey, which is undergoing a currency crisis right now and soaring inflation. How did the country get here, and why have we seen such a steep decline in the value of the lira this year?
Yeah, so for people who have watched Turkey's economy and markets for even just the last year or so, we've kind of seen this before. Turkey tends to get into these cycles in which the central bank cuts interest rates, and that makes it cheaper for corporates and households to borrow money. You have imports growing usually, and all of a sudden that means that, you know, there's a ton of demand for buying things denominated in dollars, in euros, and essentially selling the lira. And the lira will weaken, and you also have some other byproducts out of this where investors don't want to hold the lira then because inflation is higher than the interest they're getting paid. And so you have these moments in which when interest rates start falling, the lira suddenly drops. And that's what we've seen this time again. Turkey's president Erdogan has long advocated for lower interest rates as a means of driving economic growth. And he's adopted this unconventional economic theory that if you have higher interest rates, that leads to inflation, when in reality, higher interest rates usually offset inflation because it's harder for people to do all of that importing and excess buying of different currency goods. And so it's kind of begun happening again, where you have interest rates falling, and all of a sudden the currency is also sliding with that.
What has this meant for the Turkish people in everyday life?
I mean, it's meant that the price of goods that they need to import are going up. And so we're not talking about people who need to import iPads or other electronics. These are people who need food. They need oil. They need gasoline for their cars. These are essential imports that Turkey needs to buy. And because inflation is going up, the buying power of the lira is going down, and it's even harder for everyone to procure the things that they actually need.
You mentioned that these economic policies under President Erdogan are unconventional. How do they compare to what central banks in other emerging markets are doing?
Yeah, so Turkey is really an anomaly here. Almost every other major emerging market central bank has been hiking interest rates. As we've said, hiking rates is typically how most central banks combat inflation. And Turkey has been going against the grain by cutting rates, while everyone else, including Mexico, South Africa, Brazil, are all tightening. And so they really stand out on the global stage.
So what are the risks of spillover to other world economies? What could this mean for other European nations and even the U.S. potentially?
Turkey does a lot of trade with other European nations, and it has foreign currency debt in the form of euros and dollars. And so part of the potential risk from this is that some of the loans that will be coming due in a couple of months' time, maybe Turkey isn't able to roll those payments over to the future because the U.S. banks and the European banks are a little bit more concerned about Turkey's economy than they've been in the past, and they say, please repay us now. And if that happens, you could see the foreign currency reserves that the domestic banks and the central bank have come under even more pressure. And that's been really key because those reserves are also how the central bank has in the past kept the currency from completely free falling. And so their ability to defend the currency now is very limited, and potentially, you know, some of that reserve currency could have to go to servicing these debts. You know, we've seen these crises before, and this time seems different in the sense that, you know, usually Erdogan will have someone near him who says, okay, now it's time to hike interest rates. We know it's not what you want to do, but it's what we have to do. And that will usually kind of stop these moments of volatility. In terms of kind of broader spillover, there's no major concerns that a crisis in Turkey would drastically affect other countries, just because a lot of countries from past crises have really pared down their exposure to it. I mean, Erdogan has fired several central bank heads in the last couple of years. He recently appointed someone from his own party to be finance minister. And so you see kind of a consolidation of people who tend to agree with him, at least publicly, kind of surrounding him. And so there's concern that there's really no one left in a position of authority to say, hey, you know, we tried it your way. We need to pull everything back now.
Where does all of this leave Turkey? It seems like a very long and potentially complicated road to recovery here.
In order to come back from this, you do need to have rate hikes. And the consensus is that you're going to need a pretty significant one. Interest rates are now at 15%. And so they had been at, I think, as high as like 19% earlier this year. You'd probably need to see them go much higher than that just to restore some confidence. But even then, investors will tell you, because we've seen this so often, the concern is that anyone Erdogan does instill who's competent and won't abide by what he says, he still has the power to remove them. And so even if they hike rates, even if they go back to traditional orthodox monetary policy, you know, you might still see everything reverse 1 year from now when all of a sudden he decides that he wants to drive growth higher. And so it's hard to know where this all ends, because as I said, usually there's someone to kind of pull him back and say, like, you know, let's hike rates. It's not clear what happens this time.
That's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff. Caitlin, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, supply chain shortages, inflation, a new COVID-19 variant during an ongoing pandemic. According to our personal finance reporter, Veronica Dagger, these issues are leading millennials to ask the big questions.
What happens if something happens to me or my loved ones? What happens to my assets? What happens to my life? How can I regain some sense of the things I can control in my life?
Many are writing their wills. According to Caring.com, a senior care referral service, about 27% of 18 to 34-year-olds say they now have a will. That's up from just 18% in 2019. Veronica says there are a couple of ways to knock estate planning off your to-do list.
There's several do-it-yourself online options, and that can be cheaper and often less time-consuming than hiring a lawyer. And if you have a very simple estate, you don't have a lot of assets, this could be a good option for you. So for example, you could create a will and healthcare directive online for $89 with Nolo, that's a legal information publisher. Also LegalZoom, they offer a last will and testament, and that's only $89. You know, in some of these cases, you still have to print out the paperwork and get it notarized by a notary, but that's not a big deal. So that's an option for some people, and it can be a bit less intimidating for some who don't want to deal with a lawyer.
We have more from Veronica on millennials and estate planning on our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.